In every Episcopal church, there is a book called the Parish Register. It's a thick, hardbound book, and in it, the priest is supposed to write the names of everyone who has been baptized, married, confirmed, and buried in the church. This morning, we are going to baptize Donald Everett Manning IV right here, and we are going to write his name in the book. And I'm glad this morning that Father Dick Scott is with us, and Father Dick Scott is going to do the baptism, and he will write his name in the book as the officiant. If you look back in the parish register to previous years, you will find that there is another baptism among many that Father Dick Scott has signed off on. April 2nd, 1994, Bonnie Alice Foley. So the circle is unbroken, and one generation tells the tale to another. We've got a newborn here. He's 5 months old, I guess. I find that holding babies, little babies, is kind of frightening. Not because I'm worried that I'm going to drop them, or that I'm worried that they're going to start crying or make a fuss, but because holding a baby makes me so aware of the fragility of life and the sacredness of life. Here in my hands I have this child whose life is completely before it. This future stretches out completely unbroken. Pure potential. Every child that's born is a miracle of God. And that's what I think about when I hold a baby. We want our children to thrive, and so we give them everything that we can to make them thrive. Loving parents, a strong family, a healthy environment, good boundaries, self-confidence, a good education. But beyond all those things that we can give them, there's something more that we want for them that we can't give ourselves. And that is the blessing and protection of God. We want our children to be blessed and protected by God. Whatever happens in their life, whatever is to come, when we don't know what it's going to be, but whatever happens, we want them to be safe in God's hands. So we bring them to the altar to be baptized. The priest puts a little trickle of water on the child, says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Put a little dab of oil on the child and say, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever." It's an ancient ceremony. It's ancient. So this morning we're gathered here all together in one place to do this baptism, just like the disciples were gathered all together in one place on the day of Pentecost that we read about in the lesson from Acts this morning. The disciples had experienced the resurrection of Jesus, and they had seen the risen Lord many times, and now they were waiting for the promised Holy Spirit to come and fall on them. They are all together in one place. It says that there were about 120 believers total at that time, and they were gathered in a house. It may have been a large house with a courtyard that was open so everyone had room to gather. It may have been some kind of a public facility with open sides so that other people could hear. And as they were gathered there praying, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And flames of fire came, and a flame of fire, a tongue of fire, rested on the head of each disciple, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in languages that they didn't know. People who were gathered around there began to say, "What is this? These are just rough fishermen and peasants. They're speaking in languages that I know." People who came from all parts of the world were there. They heard God being praised in their own language. And Peter stood up and gave the very first sermon, and he said, "What is happening here is that the prophecy that was given by the prophet Joel so long ago has been fulfilled. That God's Holy Spirit would fill the people, and the young people would prophesy, and the old people would dream dreams." So on that day, it was the beginning of the church, and it's the beginning of the spread of the message about Jesus that went out like a fire into the whole world. The day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. Well, you might say that every baptism is a little Pentecost. Every time there's a baptism, the Holy Spirit comes when we call. Baptism is a gift of God. It's not something primarily that we do, it's something that God does. It's an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. We do the outward and visible sign, but the Holy Spirit brings the inward and invisible grace. It's a gift of God. Once upon a time, there was a prince who set out into the world to find his fame and fortune. And he came to a kingdom where he fell in love with a young woman. And they got married and they had a child, a son. Unfortunately, the prince was wounded in battle, wounded badly. Before he died, he was able to see his wife, and he gave to her a piece of gold that he had in his pocket. He said, "I want you to keep this piece of gold until my son is an adult, and when he's ready to go into the world, give him this piece of gold that he can always have with him." So his wife raised the child, and sure enough, when he was an adult, she gave him that piece of gold. And he went out, like his father, into the world to seek his fame and fortune. And he used that piece of gold many times. He used it to gain entrance into a kingdom. He used it as collateral to begin a successful enterprise for himself. He even used it once to bail himself out of prison. But that piece of gold was always with him. Well, baptism is like that piece of gold. When you are baptized, you get a piece of gold that you carry in your pocket for the rest of your life. You always have it. Whether you use it or not is up to you. But you always have that piece of gold. Sometimes people ask, why do we baptize babies in the Episcopal Church when the baby can't understand what's going on and can't make the promises of baptism? And our answer is that when we baptize a child, the parents and the sponsors make those promises, and they promise to raise the child in the Christian faith. And then we expect and hope that when the child comes of age, the child will make those promises for themselves. What we do is we plant a seed of faith, and we hope that it grows. I heard a story once about a young woman who was adopted at birth, and her adopted parents were good parents. It was a good family, and they raised her and said, when you're 18 years old, you can look for your birth parents, but not until then. So when she was 18, sure enough, she got her own birth certificate, and she found her mother's name there, and she went on the internet and she did a search for her mother. And it didn't take long before she found her mother's obituary. She had died 5 years before. But she also found her mother's sister, her aunt. So she contacted her, and she said, I think you're my aunt. Can we get together? The aunt was a little suspicious at first, a little skeptical. But when she heard the birthday of this young woman, she thought back in her life and she realized that there was a period of about 6 months when her sister had sort of disappeared. And she put two and two together and she said, that could be true. Why don't you come over to our house? So the young woman came over. As soon as she came through the door, the aunt recognized her sister in the face of this young woman. And so she welcomed her in. They sat down on the couch. She showed her the family albums and told her the stories about the family. They spent all afternoon together. And as the young woman was about to leave, her aunt said, wait a minute, there's one more thing. I have a box that I'd like to give you. It was a shoebox filled with old keepsakes and mementos that her mother had left. And so they opened it and looked through it. There were photos and letters and bank statements and the usual kind of things you throw in a box. But down near the bottom, there was an envelope, and on the envelope it said, baptismal certificate. So the young woman opened the envelope, and there in the envelope was her own baptismal certificate with her name on it and her mother's name. It was dated 4 days after she was born, and she knew that she had been adopted out on the fifth day after she had been born. As she sat on the couch looking at this baptismal certificate, she realized that her mother had given her the one gift that she was able to give her before she let go of her and let go of all control of her, the gift of baptism. And her mother had kept that baptismal certificate as the only reminder of this child, always there in that shoebox. See, baptism is a gift. It's a gift of God. Today we're going to baptize Donnie. I hope that his life is long and happy and blessed and fruitful. And this morning we're going to give him the best gift that we can, the gift of baptism. Amen.